I begin tonight with a question. Have you heard from God lately? Well, of course, some respond. I pray to God every day. Others might say, well, yes, indeed, I read my Bible. I hear the Word preached on Sunday. So, yeah, I would say I've heard from God. And that may well be true. I don't dismiss either of those claims. Certainly praying to God, regularly reading and hearing His Word are good practices for the Christian. But are we really listening to God? Do we hear God speaking to us? Now, I'm not talking about an audible voice that you hear with your ears, but I'm talking about the Holy Spirit making it very personal, bringing the truth to our minds in such a way that we know it's from Him. I remember attending a prayer conference, been about 35 years ago now. There was a professor from Canadian Theological Seminary, Dr. Charles Nienkirchen, and he spoke at the conference. And he said, as I travel in churches in Canada and teach classes of college students and seminarians, I've come to the conclusion that in the lives of many church-going Christians, the capacity to hear the voice of God has been seriously diminished. Not only has it been seriously diminished, but there are many Christians whom I suspect do not even have a desire to hear from God. He's not talking about unbelievers there. He's talking about Christians who not only do they not hear from God, they don't even really want to. And I doubt that all these years later, he'd probably change much in that statement. John White, an evangelical psychologist, writes in his book, The Fight, "It is God who wishes to establish communication. He is more anxious to speak to us than we are to hear Him. He's incredibly persistent in trying to get through. Our real problem is that we tend to avoid hearing Him." Why is that? Why do so many Christians not only fail to hear God's voice, but quite honestly don't even want to? Perhaps some are fearful of what God will say. They're afraid that God may call them to do something that they're not prepared to do. Or maybe He will put a finger on a part of their life that He wants them to change, or maybe to give up, and they're unwilling to do that. Maybe they're afraid of becoming too mystical or emotional in their relationship with God. Maybe it is that they know that their life isn't where it ought to be, and they're afraid God's going to convict them. And so they don't want to hear. Kind of like when you were little and you knew you were in trouble, and maybe your mom used that famous phrase, "Wait till your father gets home." Who's the last person on earth you wanted to hear his voice? Dear old dad, because it probably wasn't going to be good. And maybe there are folks that are like that with their Heavenly Father as well. They're kind of like Adam trying to hide from God. I think, though, one reason why so many Christians today really don't listen to God is because they don't know how to. Problem with prayer is we've only been taught one side of prayer. Every now and then I'll hear a Christian say, "Well, I don't know how to pray." And my answer to them is always very simple. You know how to talk? If you can talk, you can pray. But I'm guilty of only teaching one side of prayer. Because while prayer is indeed talking to God, it's not a one-way street. Prayer is more accurately communication and communing with God, and that goes both ways. Yes, we talk to God. We give Him our praise, our thanks, our adoration. We bring our requests to Him. I'm not downplaying any aspect of prayer. That is the speaking part where we are addressing God. That's important. Unfortunately, for most Christians, that's as far as it gets. We go to God. We tell Him how great He is, how grateful we are for what He has done. We give Him our laundry list of this is what I need you to do, and I'll talk to you later. Many of us do not take the time, do not take the effort to really listen to God. And when our prayer life is that one-sided, I remember that speaker many years ago say, and this is stuck in my head, it's like one hand clapping. You ever tried to clap with one hand? It doesn't work too well, does it? Doesn't quite accomplish what you're trying to do. And sometimes that's what our prayer lives are like. It's all speaking. It's all coming from us to God. There's not much coming from God to us. And I think that learning how to listen to God is a key component to a healthy spiritual life. So this evening, our text is actually just one verse. It's the first verse of Habakkuk chapter 2. These are the words of the prophet. And he says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Remember that in chapter 1, Habakkuk had some questions. He's had some very serious questions about God. In fact, we can summarize them into these three simple questions. God, are you there? God, do you care? And then, God, are you unfair? Those are the questions that Habakkuk raises in chapter 1. They're questions that, my guess is, many people have had at one time or another in their lives. We've often taken a look at what's going on in the world or what's going on in our world personally, and are like, God, are you even there? Sometimes we're like the disciples in the boat out in the lake. The storm is crashing against the sides of the boat. I mean, half of these guys are professional fishermen, and they're scared out of their sandals. And they go to Jesus and say, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? God, don't you care what's going on in my life? And then the really tough one, when it looks like things don't quite add up, when bad things happen to good people, transversely, when good things happen to bad people, we're like, God, are you unfair? I mean, I really thought that if I, you know, did my best and if I lived a good life, you'd reward me. And you've got people out there that they're flaunting your laws, they're sinning all the time, and you aren't doing anything about them. They seem to be getting away with it, and I'm suffering. God, are you unfair? Let's be honest. Those questions have probably come to mind at one time or another. Maybe we didn't have the nerve to ask them out loud, but they're there. I'm thankful that Habakkuk was honest enough to record his questions and that God was faithful enough to preserve them in His Word, because this is real life. Now, I mentioned before, I think Habakkuk is as relevant as any book in the Bible because it speaks to life the way it really is. It addresses questions probably every one of us have at one time or another. But I agree with Chuck Swindoll when he says that this verse in Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1, is the pivot on which the book hinges. If you take away this verse, the book kind of falls apart. And I would say that while many of us have experienced chapter 1, many of us have at least thought, if we haven't voiced those three questions, for many of us, that's where our story ends. We stomp into God's presence, we throw these questions in His face, and we stomp back out, and we don't bother to wait for an answer. Here Habakkuk puts himself in a place where he can hear from God. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, how to hear from God. There's four lessons that he gives us. First one is that hearing from God requires leaving. The first words in verse 1, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. Here he's talking about a watchman on the walls of Jerusalem, stationed high above the city to look out for approaching danger. It was their responsibility to warn the people if an enemy army was coming or if marauding bandits were approaching the city. Habakkuk sees himself as that kind of a watchman, but he's not waiting for the enemy. He's watching for a message from God that he can share with the people. Now, whether the prophet literally went to a tower along the city wall of Jerusalem or not, we don't know. I think this is more about his attitude of expectation rather than a physical location. He wanted to get alone in order to hear God's perspective. This is also true when we talk about prayer. The Bible often talks about the posture of prayer. And sometimes we are taught as little children, when you pray, you get down on your knees. You bow your head, you close your eyes, you fold your hands. That's because when we're that little, if we don't, we're going to get distracted. Not that we don't get distracted as adults, we just don't have to have physical things to distract us. There are many places in the Scripture where the people of God literally laid flat on the floor in humility before God. But I dare say that most of us my age and maybe a little above, you know, we'd be down and can't get up, right? So we don't have to physically get on the floor to have an attitude of humility. And I think that's what Habakkuk is saying here. He's using picturesque words to describe his attitude. So what are we talking about when we talk about leaving? Well, we need to detach ourselves from the problem, from our surroundings, even from some of our thought processes and feelings. One resource describes this as the withdrawal of the soul from the earthly and fixing it on heavenly things. Jesus did that during his ministry. We're told in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, we know that Jesus was very, very busy. Everywhere he went, he attracted a crowd. It was very hard for him to get alone time with the Father. So what did he do? He got up at a time when most people were sleeping, even before the sun comes up. He got away from all of the people. Not that the people were bad, he just needed to get away to a solitary place. And that's where he prayed. He physically removed himself from the familiar surroundings, from other people, from any kind of distractions. I think one of the greatest obstacles in hearing from God is noise. Noise can be very distracting, and it can drown the voice of God out. But we need to leave behind more than just physical distractions. We can find a quiet, secluded place and still get sidetracked with a different kind of distraction, what you might call inner noise. What's going on in the inside? This can be the voice inside our head reminding us of all the things that we have to do. It might be the expectations of others. It might even be our own preconceived ideas about God. I like how Ray Stedman puts it. God is the most unorthodox person. He's always doing things the wrong way and picking up the wrong people and operating in the most surprising ways. One of the things you learn about God is that he's always doing the unexpected, not because he delights in puzzling us, but because of the variety of his workings are so infinite that our feeble human minds can't grasp them, and we're astounded at the puzzle of God's working. And it's during these times when God doesn't seem to make sense, it's important that we lay aside human opinions and maybe even our own emotions in order to hear from the voice of God. Allow Him to speak through His Word and through His Spirit. See, Habakkuk had a special place where he met with God. And I hope that you have some place where you can go, where you can leave behind the physical, the mental, the emotional distractions. We can get alone with God and have God give Him the opportunity to speak to us. So hearing from God requires leaving. It also requires lowering. Now again, I'm not talking so much about our physical posture as I am the attitude. Talking about humility. We must come to God in humility if we're going to hear from Him. And you see this at the end of verse 1. Now I'd like to read this from a different translation. It's called the International Standard Version. I will stand at my guard post and station myself on a tower. I will wait and see what the Lord will say about me and what I will answer when He reprimands me. See, Habakkuk knew that when he was launching these questions at God in chapter 1, he was skating on thin ice. He knew that these were not the kinds of questions that good believers are supposed to ask. And he fully expected God to really hammer him for it. And he's ready for it. All right, I've said my piece. God, I'm ready for what's coming my way. And I really do believe that Habakkuk expected God to be rough with him. That he was going to have to pay for asking such tough questions. Now, he's not defiantly demanding an answer, but he's humbly expecting some kind of correction, some kind of reproof for his questions. He's challenged the propriety and the purpose of the Lord Himself. So it's understandable that he's waiting for a straightforward rebuke from God. But again, he doesn't hide from it. He's not running from God. He doesn't stomp into God's presence and ask His questions and then stomp out. He's like, I'm ready to hear. And I will humbly accept what it is God is going to say to me. I think this chapter is very similar to Psalm 73. That was written by a man named Asaph. And like Habakkuk, he was disturbed because it seemed like the wicked were prospering while the righteous were suffering. And again, he presents his issue with God, but he allows God the opportunity to answer. And when he did that, he found an answer. And it's very similar to the answer that Habakkuk is going to receive as well. In both of these cases, it required humility, lowering ourselves, and catch this, lowering our expectations. Oftentimes, we have expectations on God that He doesn't even have. And sometimes we need to lower our expectations and humbly wait. What you say, what kind of expectations are that? Here's one. When I pray, God is going to answer. Now, okay, yes, He is. But He may not answer the way we want. And here's the real kicker. He may not answer when we want. I want it yesterday. I want it now. And God might say, it ain't coming now. And He's not being cruel or mean. He's not too busy, but He is at work at other people's lives, and He's saying, I've got my answer for you, but it's going to come a little bit later, because that's all part of my plan. You're only seeing that little portion that affects you. I'm seeing the whole thing. So we may need to lower our expectations both the hope and the humility of the prophet. It gives an appropriate direction for us all these centuries later. We acknowledge that God's ways are higher than man's ways. And we must wait on God to hear from Him. I challenge you sometime, go through the Bible and see how many times it says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. What's one of the hardest things for human beings to do? Wait. What is our least favorite place to be? A waiting room. Sometimes we're in God's waiting room, and it takes patience, it takes perseverance, and it may be lowering our expectations, lowering ourselves in humility before Him. A third lesson in hearing from God requires lingering. And again, this ties in with this idea of waiting. Habakkuk's mind cannot wrap itself around this huge problem, so he leaves the problem with God. And that's a very wise thing, because no human mind, not yours, not mine, not the most brilliant person we can think of, is wide enough and deep enough to understand all of God's purposes. So at this point, we need to say, like Habakkuk does, I will wait for your answer. And if that requires lingering before you, I will do that. You'll notice Habakkuk doesn't come to God and say, okay, God, I got 5 minutes. Speak. Give me your best shot, because I've got other things I got to do. He says, I will wait and see what the Lord says to me. Most of us lack that kind of patience. We're saying, in essence, God, I need to understand this right now. If you don't explain it to me, then you must not exist. If you don't explain it to me, if you don't make this problem understandable to my finite mind, then I'm going to refuse to believe in you. If I don't get it, you must have made a mistake. If I don't understand something in your word, why is it there? It must not mean anything, or maybe somebody goofed. Instead of saying, I don't get it. I don't understand this. I'll wait and hear what your answer is. And that's really what Habakkuk does. I don't understand this, but you're mightier than I. All I can do is wait for you to reveal your truth to me. I've gone as far as I can in my wisdom, in my intelligence. All I can do now is wait. So I will wait patiently for the Lord. Man, that's tough. That is so hard to do because we are so busy. We pack our schedules full of things and we just don't have time to wait on God. What a mistake that is. And we wonder why we don't hear from Him. That's a hard pill to swallow. We'd rather do almost anything than wait. And it seems to be such a waste of time. You know, we think to ourselves, I ought to be doing something. You know, why take an hour to spend with God? It's such a waste. Really? Is that really a waste of time? I would say that's an investment of time. You say, well, I don't have it. Well, Jesus didn't either. He made it. He made time. Maybe that means getting up a little earlier, staying up a little later, or maybe foregoing something else because we make it a priority. We are seldom more effective in all our lives than when we make a determined effort to stop and wait on God. We stop the complaining, we stop the wrestling, we stop the fighting, stop the inner churning that's calling, wait and see what He says. Seldom are we more effective than when we do that. Our big problem is that we want to get God's thinking in line with ours. Isn't that it? In fact, that's the way a lot of people approach prayer. I'm going to pray so that God will see things my way. Yeah. That's the wrong expectation. We need to align our thinking with His. And I really think that's the key to understanding that phrase, Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. We're not trying to get our will done in heaven. We're trying to get God's will done on earth. And it may not be the same as our will. It may not line up with our thinking and our plans. But that's what we need to do. Here's a few verses, just a few, because there's a whole lot more, to talk about how important it is to wait. In Psalm 5, verse 3, "In the morning, O Lord, You hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before You and wait in expectation." Now, he says, I have expectation. I'm waiting in expectation. Meaning, I don't think this is a waste of time. I know God hears me, and I believe God's going to answer me. So I'm going to expectantly wait for God to speak. Beginning of that verse says, "You hear my voice." And he ends it by saying, "I'm going to listen for yours." Here is prayer in that balance of both speaking and listening. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 14, the last verse of the psalm. "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Oh man, that's tough. That's if you want to call it a spiritual skill, that's one you really have to develop because it goes against our grain. And then Psalm 37, verse 7. "Be still before the Lord and wait for Him." Be still. You know, that's a very nice way of translating the Hebrew. Because you know what that is in Hebrew? Shut up. Shut up and wait on the Lord. And sometimes it needs to be that blunt because that's the only way we get it. We need to be quiet. We need to stop talking in our praying. Wait on the Lord. And in this verse, Habakkuk 2:1, Habakkuk declares his determination to watch and wait. It's an attitude of faith and honesty. He knew God had an answer and that God would give it, so he's determined to wait on it. He doesn't know when God will answer, but he knows that he will. He says, "Even if I have to wait an extended period, I will wait on the Lord." And if you peek ahead into verse 2, and we're not going to really get into what the Lord answers, but notice how verse 2 begins back in Habakkuk 2. "Then the Lord replied." Now, I don't know when the Lord replied, but He did. After Habakkuk said, "I will wait for an answer." He may have had to wait a half an hour, an hour, a few hours, a few days, maybe a week. I don't know. Doesn't say how long he had to wait. But at some point, at just the right time, the Lord gave an answer. Habakkuk was able to hear from God because he was willing to linger in His presence. He was willing to wait for God to give an answer. And then finally, hearing from God requires listening. Now, that might sound very self-evident, which is a nice way of saying, that's dumb. Well, of course, if you're going to hear from God, you have to listen. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but let me ask you this. Are hearing and listening the same thing? That is the answer of a mom who has a child, right? Right? Because how many parents have said to their children, usually in a very loud voice, "Can't you hear me?" Right? And unless they are clinically deaf, oh yeah, they can hear you and so can half the neighborhood. It's not a matter that they cannot physically hear, they're not listening. What is the component of listening that differentiates it from hearing? It's paying attention to what you hear. Really listening. Not just waiting for sound waves to invade this hole in our head, but listening, paying attention. Jesus described in Matthew 13 why he used parables. I mean, here is a good question. The disciples came to him and said, "Lord, why do you tell these stories? We don't get them. A lot of people don't get them. Why don't you just speak clearly?" And this is what he says. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 13. Jesus says, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many of the prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, to hear what you hear but did not hear it." Jesus is saying, I'm distinguishing between people who are hearing and listening. And there were an awful lot of people that would go to where Jesus was and they would hear his words, and that's as far as it went. They didn't listen. They didn't pay attention. It didn't make any sense to them. And they would walk away just as lost as when they came. I don't get it. You see that distinction that he uses here. Though hearing the physical reception of sound, they don't hear. They're not really listening. They don't pay attention to what is said. I really believe this is the point behind that phrase Jesus often used. For him who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm sure a lot of the people at that time said, well, yeah, that's what these are. You know, they're working. But are you really hearing? Are you truly listening for God to speak? Are you paying attention? We so often fail because we pray to God and then forget about it. If we pray to God, then we must listen for the answers to our prayers. Do we, in fact, after we have prayed, continue to listen and eagerly await His answer? Are we like Habakkuk on that watchtower, expecting it to come at any moment? You know, the Bible is filled with patterns for prayer. We repeat the words of what's been called the Lord's Prayer in our worship. Reading a psalm aloud makes an ancient prayer our own as we address our Heavenly Father. But I would suggest one of the shortest recorded prayers uttered by one of the youngest biblical characters would revolutionize our prayer lives if we took it to heart. And that's Samuel. We talked about Samuel's mother this morning. And when young Samuel was put in the tabernacle, devoting his life to God, as a still a young boy, he was told by his mentor Eli, "When God speaks to you, say, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" You want to revolutionize your prayer life? Start praying that prayer. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Meaning, I'm paying attention. And not only am I willing to hear you, but what you tell me, I'm going to do. That's the heart attitude we must have when we listen to God. I really think the familiar words of James 1:19 ought to be applied to our prayer lives. Usually we think about this in our relations to others, but listen to these words and think about them in the context of prayer. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. How well do we do that in our prayer life? Or are we so quick to speak, we're kind of slow to listen? We may not be listening at all. You know, we tend to only apply these words in our relationships with others, but how about applying them in our relationship with God? On those occasions when the world seems to be falling apart, God doesn't make sense, I think this verse would be a good one to practice. So often we do so much of the talking, we don't take time to listen. Habakkuk was a man who heard the voice of God. And from his example, from his testimony, we can learn four crucial lessons if we want to hear from God. Hearing from God requires leaving both our inner and outer distractions. Hearing from God requires lowering ourselves in an attitude of humility. Hearing from God requires lingering in patience for an answer. And hearing from God requires listening for His voice through His Word and through His Spirit. Habakkuk revealed a very mature wisdom in his determination that this response shaped by what God Himself would say. It is a wise person who takes their questions about God to God and then waits for an answer. I'd like to close with a poem written by V. Raymond Edmond, former president of Wheaton College, and was a longtime preacher. In every life, there's a pause that is better than onward rush. Better than hewing or mightiest doing, 'tis the standing still at sovereign will. There's a hush that is much better than ardent speech. Better than sighing or wilderness crying, 'tis being still at sovereign will. The pause and the hush sing a double song, in unison low for all time long. O human soul, God's working plan goes on, nor needs the aid of man. Stand still and see. Be still and know. The only thing I can say to that is amen. If we want to hear from God, we need to put ourselves in a place where we will hear from Him. And we will. It just takes the time, it takes that right mental posture, and it may take some waiting, but He will speak. He's always faithful to His Word. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we've learned some important lessons tonight about hearing from You. Help us to stop talking long enough to hear You speak. Help us to take the time, maybe make the time, where we can be free from distraction and truly listen for Your voice. Give us the patience to wait. Help us to understand that not only are Your thoughts higher than our thoughts and Your ways than our ways, but Your timing is very different than ours as well. Help us not only to have a one-sided prayer life, but help us to truly listen for Your voice. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. May that be an attitude of our lives as we go from this place. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.